There are 59 million children who are not at school of primary school age. There are another 60 million or so in secondary school who should be at school who are not. And there are many millions of girls who never finish their education whatsoever. And yet we have these important goals that are being agreed by the United Nations this week, not only that every child should finish primary school, but every single child in the world by 2030 should have completed secondary education. So these goals have to be met. We've got to look at how this can be done. There is aid to education has been cut. Multilateral support for education is not as good as it should be. We have lessons to learn from the successes of global health. And so the commission that has been set up by the Norwegian Prime Minister, to her great credit, and the Norwegian government, is trying to find financing solutions to how we can meet the sustainable development goals, is trying to look at innovative ways of delivering that finance, is trying to look at what individual countries that are falling way behind with millions of people who are not in education, like Nigeria and Pakistan and India, Bangladesh, Ethiopia, what they can do to make sure that every child has a chance of education.
Is conflict in the Middle East the thing that's driving the necessity to start doing this now?
We would have a problem even if there was no displacement of children and no refugees. But this has made the problem so much worse. There are now 30 million displaced children around the world. It's a record figure since 1945. 10 million of these children are refugees who are outside their own country. The majority of these children are not going to be in school. Many of them will have their full school-age years without ever going through the door of a classroom. And we've got to do something about those stateless, homeless, but also children who have no hope of getting education unless we can find solutions for them. So we're working on a plan in the region around Syria with the Turkish government, the Jordan government and the Lebanese government. 2 million child refugees are in that area, so it's one of the biggest concentrations of child refugees. Most of them are still not at school, but we have developed a plan which is called the double shift system, where we use existing schools. And there is an afternoon and early evening session in addition to the morning and early afternoon session. And so we want to, over the next few months, to ensure that around 1 million children can get the schooling that they need.
And how do you persuade governments, world leaders, to make this investment in their children for the future?
The problem is that education is caught between humanitarian aid, which is primarily about food and shelter and has got to be about survival, and development aid, which is long-term and can't deal with crises. So we're hoping to create a humanitarian platform for education in emergencies. But we've got to persuade not just governments, but public opinion. You see, it is absolutely vital that every single child, and every refugee child in particular, has food and shelter and healthcare. But it's education that gives these children hope, that they can plan for the future, that they can prepare for a career, that there's something worth living for, that they perhaps can go back to their own country very soon, but they've got to prepare for that. I met a Syrian boy in Lebanon a few weeks ago when I was in Lebanon in Beirut. And I asked him what he wanted to be, and he said he wanted to be an engineer. And I said, why an engineer? And he said, I want to go back to rebuild my country. A Syrian who wanted to get back there, but wanted the education so he could make a contribution to the rebuilding of his country. By giving young people the chance of getting to school, we can change the world. In other words, sometimes people campaign on child labour and they campaign on child marriage and child trafficking. That is absolutely right to do so. But by linking it to an end to exploitation, by getting children into education, you have the prospect of a positive outcome. And that's why this is a civil rights movement that will continue until every single child has a quality education in every part of the world.
You feel very passionately about this, don't you?
I don't think you can think of a hopeful prospect for the future of the world unless we do invest in young people and in their future. And I don't believe we've given this enough attention in recent years. And while we've spent a huge amount of money on health, and that's right, and we've got to spend more on humanitarian aid when it's food and shelter, we cannot ignore that if we have a discontented generation of young people who've been denied something that is totally within our power to deliver, the chance of a basic schooling, then we are building up problems for the future. And I don't believe that any parent that I talk to wants to leave a generation of young people without both education and hope.